What's up, Terrifics? I'm Michael Artsis. This is the Michael Artsis Show, and you are the Terrifics. You make Be Terrific special at Be Terrific TV on all social media. And, of course, you can reach out to us, connect at BeTerrific.com with all your wonderful feedback. I am here in Las Vegas. Kevin is across the country in New Jersey, to be exact. I was going to say New York. I tell everybody it's New York, Kevin. Is that weird?
This speaks to how much you miss New York, man. You miss New York so much that you're just putting yourself in this position. You're putting yourself here. That's how much you miss it.
I tell everybody New York, but you're really in New Jersey. Is that horrible?
As a New Jerseyan, I have to say it kind of is, man. It is kind of horrible because, you know what? New Jersey gets dismissed a lot. You know, we get thought of as like, you know, we're just an afterthought. You know, it's like we don't have our own identity. Everyone just thinks of you. You tell them you're from New Jersey, like, oh, you're from New York. And it's like, no, I'm from New Jersey, you know? Some Jersey pride here.
Oh, I don't have any Jersey pride. I have New York pride.
Oh, I know that.
Not New Jersey pride. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Why would I have New Jersey pride? I don't love New Jersey. I love New York.
This is true. You're a Jersey guy. I mean, you're a New York guy.
Yeah.
Going through.
So, you know, today was an interesting day here in Las Vegas doing stuff with VSIN. They have an SNS server that's Studio Network Solutions. I set that up, and it seems like it's finally running right, and that's good. I mean, I told them to get it and had it set up and all that stuff. So things are going well here. Disappointed I'm not in studio. Man, it'd be nice to be in studio back in Secaucus in our Be Terrific studios. The studios here are beautiful. I am going to get you guys a tour at some point. But we've got a lot of exciting news because we've been working on a lot of big things at Be Terrific, a lot of different things. We've listened to what you, the Terrifics, want. And we're going to be giving you a lot of original programming starting next Thursday night with our first episode of Broadway Bartender. And it's a much overdue episode. It'll be an episode of Broadway Bartender where we have School of Rock on. Now, Broadway Bartender is a show where we talk cocktails. We get to hear about recipes of cocktails. And then we meet actors and actresses from Broadway and talk to them about their careers, about their shows, and all sorts of other great things. It's a lot of fun. It's hosted by Anthony Caparelli. Anthony is the producer, host, founder, creator of Imbibe, which is an off-Broadway show on New World Stages just outside Broadway. And it's a great show, imbibe.nyc, imbibe.nyc. And then, of course, we're going to have this great show that he's going to host called Broadway Bartender. And it's very exciting. The latest episode the first episode is being edited now. And then we have other episodes that are, going to be in the can soon, as they say, in the can. And you can go to YouTube now and you can watch, you can literally go to YouTube right now and watch my interview with Anthony. Not a problem. It's available. It's about 38 minutes long. And we put it up today. So go to youtube.com/BeTerrificTV. Kevin, is that going up on our site as well?
It's on our site right now. On our site now.
It is?
Yes. I put it on.
Excellent.
Yeah. You know, got to make sure that it's available to the Terrifics every which way they can get it on our website and on YouTube. Good interview, too. So
we can start streaming to Periscope, too, and we should.
Start doing
thank
what?
Thank you for saying that's a good interview. We could start streaming to Periscope, and we should.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I saw you on Periscope. I kind of tuned in. Remember, I don't know if you recall, one of the guys said, oh, Artsis, you have a fan. And I was like, Artsis, working hard. It was during a VSIN. You guys were kind of testing something. You were testing your Periscope, I guess. And I tuned in there.
Oh,
and
the Periscope at VSIN?
I think the first one that you guys ever did. And I got the notification.
Well,
so
I wasn't
like,
on that.
No, you were. You were on your computer because you were hard at work. You were focused on a computer. And somebody
that
you were working with,
so
yeah.
Bill said, hey, somebody likes you already. Yeah. Yes, I remember. I was trying to get the Periscope to work.
I know. You were zoned in. I could see that laser focus in your eye. I've been around you long enough now that I can get the cues from you. I know when you're in certain zones. And I saw you. I'm like, yeah, he's in that zone. He's in that focus zone where it's like he can hear things. He might not respond, but he hears you. But he's just too focused to kind of like give you responses and things like that. So I knew what was going on.
Interesting. How's the audio sound on the show? Because your audio sounds terrible to me, but it could
It
be,
does?
it could be the box that's going into the Skype computer. I wonder.
Yeah, I mean, I think I sound good. You sound good to me, so I have no issues. What did Terrific say?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
No, I. Well, my feedback is you sound great. I sound good too.
Yeah. Okay. It sounds good. Wow. I sound tired. Am I that tired?
I mean, I told you that before, and you're a little, you know, a little low, but you're working hard, man. You're working what?
Kevin?
Huh? What was that?
Kevin.
Yeah, you can't hear me?
I don't know what just happened Skype-wise.
Yeah, I don't know what happened either. Can you hear me?
Kevin.
Yes, Michael.
I guess I'm going to assume we're still doing a show.
We are still doing a show. You can't hear me?
I have no idea.
What's going on? That's weird. We were just talking, and everything was fine.
Kevin.
Yes, Michael. Yeah. No? Nothing? Can't hear me?
Kevin. All right.
Michael, you still can't hear me?
Just end this Skype and we'll see what happens.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and end that Skype and then we'll come back, you know. Hey, guys, this is live broadcast. Hold on.
Hey,
can you hear me now, Michael?
Yeah, I can hear you.
That was weird. I don't know what happened. You just couldn't hear me all of a sudden.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. Hey, this is live broadcast. This is how it goes.
That is.
You know?
It is how it goes.
I mean,
need
it's
to
cool.
Be on a live view. We need to get the live view set up.
We have to. We'll do that. But it's nothing like live action, you know? That's the thing. You can go anywhere else and get all the makeup and everything all made up and presented to you all nice and tidy, you know. Or you can get the raw, uncut, the real. And that's the one thing about Be Terrific, I think, that a lot of the Terrifics appreciate and people who tune in casually appreciate is that we're not fake and fabricated. Everything you get from us is authentic. And I think that can be really appreciated in the world, especially with television and broadcast and everything, where everything is just so fake, you know?
Yeah. Is that why you think the Terrifics like us?
Part of it. I think that's part of it. It's a lot of reasons why they like us. Obviously, you know, you're good at what you do. I think that I add an element too as a co-host as well. And I think that most importantly, I think we can both say this, is that we care. You know, it's like we care about what we do here. We care about, you know, presenting them with good content. You know, and I think that matters.
Right.
They can sense that. So it matters.
Yes, they can. They can definitely sense that. All right. I've been watching this new program on Netflix. It's a Netflix original, and it's called Goliath.
Goliath. I've been needing a new show, so tell me about it.
Huh?
I need a new show to watch, so tell me about it.
Well, I'm trying to figure out. I finished it last night, all of season one, and I'm trying to figure out if I liked it or not. They have about 82,000 people liking it, like in stars on Amazon. But I just don't. It's included with Prime, so that's nice. I started watching it on the plane. Billy Bob Thornton is the star. I just can't figure out if I like it or not.
Oh.
It's a really weird story about a kind of a lawyer who is certainly burnt out, taking on a corporation. It's kind of super predictable. The acting is kind of, even for Billy Bob Thornton, kind of bad. But there's some reason I had to find out what happened. Like, what happened at the end, you know?
I'll say this.
If you know when that happens? And then literally I'm like, do I like this or does this suck? I can't even figure out if I like the show.
I think that answers it. I think if you have to ask yourself whether or not you like it, tells you that you didn't really like it too much. And it's funny, you mentioned the show and now it comes to mind. I was browsing through looking for a show to watch, something new. And I did run across that. When you said Billy Bob Thornton and you gave me the description, then it popped right back up to my memory.
I just want you to know how many times I like passed on the show before I finally said, all right, I travel enough and there's nothing else to watch, so I might as well watch it.
Yeah, I mean, getting good shows to watch, man, is hard. Have you tried Designated Survivor at all with Kiefer Sutherland on ABC? It's not bad.
No.
It's not a bad show.
Really? Tell me about it.
Well, pretty much it's about pretty much the State of the Union goes on, and they usually have designated people that are kept away in case of a catastrophe or something that happens. In this case, it happened to happen. And so the guy who is a who works,
of course, it does. They needed a plot for a TV show.
They needed a plot that too. So pretty much the guy assumes the presidency. He was the guy that was the designated replacement guy at the time. So he assumes the presidency, and that was this big conspiracy about who set up the attacks and if the government is under attack from inside or from outside, and they're trying to figure the whole thing out. Drama, action. It's not too bad. I don't usually like broadcast shows, but it's pretty decent. It's okay.
That's interesting. Not really.
Not really. give it a shot.
No, it sounds okay. It sounds okay.
You watched the whole season of Goliath.
NewYorkPost.com, by the way, and I'm looking at. This is interesting. They started to put up counts of how many people are reading, have read an article.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting when you look at how many people have read an article or not read an article. So there's an article about Trump, Melania's camp denying the U.S. Weekly report that they have separate beds or separate bedrooms or whatever. 37,000 people have read that article. Then you've got an article about Gwyneth Paltrow answering all your burning questions about backdoor sex. 37,000 people have read that. So just as many people have read about the president's personal life as have read about this. And that's, by the way, something that she publishes in her Goop blog. Then there's 25,000 people. By the way, do these numbers seem drastically low to you for the paper that's the sixth largest in circulation in the nation?
I would say I don't think so, because I think that people are starting to go away from that as a media source. I think people are finding their media sources more like, you know, from more independent sites like Breitbart and Politico and places like that. And
Breitbart, how I can't imagine that
not that kind of story. But I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, depending on what you're interested in, people are going to sites that they go to for specific sources of information. And so it doesn't surprise me that the New York Times and some of these main publications aren't really getting the volume that they probably would assume that they would get. You know,
it surprises me like crazy. And this is only online, so we don't know their circulation, but it should give a good indication of how many people are reading an article and how popular it is. So here's another one. Astronaut who walked on the moon says he knows the truth about aliens.
Me and Adam were just
Charles
talking about
Keith
this.
Conrad stood on the moon in 1969. The second moon mission, he's 85.
They are aliens.
Sorry. This is Alan Bean, 85, who did this, who talked about this, but they showed a picture, sorry, of Charles Pete Conrad. What is the New York Post doing? They couldn't find this guy, a picture of this guy on the moon? So 12 people have taken one giant step onto the moon, and this guy was a lunar pilot. Him and three crew members in Apollo 12 walked on the moon for 10 days. Walked on the moon 10 days after they launched. Sorry. November 14th, 1969. The crew's primary objectives included extensive series of lunar exploration tests. Of course, I am tired, man. Listen to me. Read. So he logged 1,671 hours in space. Oh, and 45 minutes. I can't forget that part. Anyway, he says that there is alien life, but they've never been to this country because they're more altruistic and friendly, and they like Earth, and they're more advanced.
I don't know about specifically what he's saying, but I absolutely, without a doubt, believe in aliens. I'm 100%. I'm all in on that being a statement of fact as far as the existence of life outside of this planet.
Really?
I'm 100%. It's no way. We're too perfectly designed, because lately I've been reading a lot of books on the brain. I'm on like my fifth book. I read like a weekly. Every week I read, go through an audiobook, and I've been reading about the brain and how it works and everything. And it's the way we're designed, the way the brain operates. And then when you go back and you just watch like a lot of like ancient history and ancient civilizations and things like that, like our existence, the chances of us existing is just too minuscule for it to be just something that happens by chance.
You're crazy, Kevin.
No, I'm telling you,
right now,
It's no way.
So if there are more advanced creatures out there, why haven't they come? Why haven't they come seen us, visited us?
I mean, who's to say that they haven't? Who's to say that they don't walk among us without us even knowing? There's a lot of possibilities out there. I know for a fact that they are out there. The answer as far as why they haven't exposed themselves or, like, revealed themselves to us.
Wait a second. You just said you know for a fact?
I'm almost – honest, put it like this. Okay. Obviously, I've never seen one, but let's just say this.
Tell me how you know – how do you know for a fact?
Okay. I don't know for – let me just say it this way.
Fact?
Let me put it this way.
No. You just said that.
Don't – let's not get hung up on – let's not get hung up on words.
I want to know how you know for a fact.
Let's just say I'm sitting at the craps table. Since you're in Vegas, let's give it that. Let's give it that. That scenario. I'm in
the craps
table, right?
Table? Okay. Yeah,
and I have all my chips right there. This is everything I've worked my entire life for, and I have to go ahead and put my chips on one side, and whether or not aliens exist, I'm going all in on aliens exist. I'm that certain of it. I'm going all in. It's no way.
You just haven't made enough money in your life to go all in.
Listen. There's galaxies that they haven't even discovered yet. We're discovering new planets and new galaxies. Like,
first of all, why would you go all in on the bet?
Because
you don't know and you can't prove. You can't prove. Something you can't prove, why would you go all in? That means you lose the bet.
Michael, but some things, hasn't there been anything in life where you can think of where you can't confirm it via fact, but you just have this feeling deep inside of you. There's something in your gut that's just telling you with every fiber in your being that this is in fact true. Or this is the case.
But I mean, even if that's the case, I might not want to gamble on it.
I mean, listen, you know what? I guess you gamble is something where you're not certain. I feel so certain about this that I'd be willing to bet it, put it all in there, put it all out. I feel that certain
there
about it.
There is no way, Kevin, there is no way that you know for a fact.
I don't know for a fact, but I feel very strongly.
So you're willing to gamble your whatever you've earned in your life. You don't even have whatever you've earned. So, I mean,
I don't.
You can only...
This is just a scenario saying that, if I did have that type of wealth,
how much
worth something.
Would you be willing to gamble on it? I mean, it's ridiculous. Would you be willing to gamble your car?
Absolutely. So they can
how
have
about
it.
Your relationship with your girlfriend?
You know what?
Where she
you're
going to
get me in trouble tonight.
We never see each other again. You're wrong.
Listen, the thing is, I don't feel it's a gamble, though, Michael. I feel like it's absolute. I feel that strongly about it. I don't have nothing to prove it as far as...
But you have no proof. Why would you gamble?
No, I don't have any proof where I can say, okay, here's an alien, something like that.
By the way, nobody asked you to gamble on it. I just don't understand. You want to gamble? Gamble on a sporting event.
I guess it's crazy that you're so sure. Yes.
Okay.
I feel
so
that
now
certain
you're
about
so
it.
Sure that aliens exist, and you're so sure that they've been to this country or not been. Been to the Earth or not been.
That part of it, I would believe that they have. Just based on, I was watching, I've been watching the History Channel too, Ancient Civilizations and Aliens, and they've just been talking about how, like, when you go back to the pyramids and some of these different things that have been built that are way advanced before their times and how they were put together and just different things. It's just kind of like, it's no answer for it. It's no rational answer for it. And when you take that into account with the universe and just the way we're designed and everything else, it's just hard for me to see a scenario where we're the only, beings as far as like.
Kevin,
human
sometimes
life,
I think you say really silly things. I mean, you're willing to gamble all these things that
I think you're hanging on to the gambling thing a bit much. Pretty much what I'm saying is I feel very certain that there is extraterrestrial life.
I mean, if you were willing to bet $1,000, I would go, okay, there's a guy who believes.
But that's the thing, though. If you believe something and you know something, if you believe something and you know something, right, you don't feel as though it's a gamble.
Oh, okay. I'll give you a perfect scenario. I've been here a while at VSIN. They're doing all sorts of stuff. I'm not part of the on-air stuff. Daryl Reed was here doing some on-air stuff. We went to dinner. We ran into Pepperdine's basketball team. The team told us they were going to lose. They told us that they were going to lose, that they didn't feel that they were a good enough team to win. They told us... I mean, you know me. I walk up to the table. I fun around with them. Who are you guys? What school are you from? What basketball team? Oh, we're Pepperdine. We start fooling around. We have a good relationship. We kid around. We're going to lose. I said, what do you mean you're going to lose? That's no attitude to have going into the game.
That's a crazy attitude.
Well, our two best players are in walking boots. I go, let me see. Their two best players were in walking boots. I said, we keep talking. Now, Daryl has a a conversation with their best player who's not in a walking boot, and he tells him, you know, come on, I need you to step up and blah, blah, blah. I talk to this big kid and I go, hey, man, this is great. Why are you saying you're going to lose and seem all down? Now you got an opportunity to prove yourself. Now you could be NBA material. You could start. He goes, I am a starter. He was also a freshman. I come back to the hotel. I say, oh, well, I know Pepperdine's going to lose. Now, nobody believes the story, but Daryl and I were there. Daryl has a picture with the team. I decide I'm not betting because even though I knew it was a sure thing, I'm not going to bet for multiple reasons, including the fact that I felt like I had insider information and that wouldn't be right. But number two, more importantly, because, I mean, even though they told me they were going to lose and I felt that they had resigned themselves to losing, okay, this wasn't like a, I mean, this was a certainty in my mind. They were going to lose because I walked up and I was like, hey, how you guys going to do tomorrow? And they went, we're going to lose, like that.
Okay.
And that wasn't a, we're going to lose, haha. That wasn't a, we're going to go get them. That was a, we're going to lose. It was a team that was resigned to losing.
They were defeated. So
I had every reason to bet against them, and I still didn't bet against them. I didn't bet. I could have walked in and put $2,000-$3,000 down. Now, I think it would have been a little dishonest. Okay?
Yeah.
But, on the other hand, okay, I just think that there's no sure thing. I looked at the thing. I said, maybe Pacific is worse than them. I don't want to bet it. So, I am not willing to bet on something like the moonlight. I just think it's silly, even if you're a better. And if you bet... Or the moon landing, or aliens, or whatever. And if you bet, I think it should be like $100, $500, $1,000. You're talking about, you're so certain that something you have no idea about exists, you're willing to bet your relationship on it, all the money you've ever made in your life on it. I mean, it's ridiculous. It doesn't even sound good.
Listen, I guess what I'm saying is this. Yeah. I feel very strongly based on our existence based on evidence in the past of how the earth and everything was together.
Is one thing. Let me ask you something.
I just feel strongly that the life exists. Huh? I don't.
You know who Kennedy?
No, I don't. There's not. Michael, I can't say there's a lot of things in which I feel like very absolutely certain about that. I feel very. Yeah, I feel very strongly about this. Yes, I feel that there's definitely life out there.
All right. So you feel strongly enough.
So, Michael, you don't think that you don't think that's the case? Like, look at how big this universe is. And like,
I think, you know, when I really think about it, I think that this guy's an old coot who is maybe losing touch with reality. I mean, 85 is not a young man. And why wait till you're 85 to talk about this? And, okay, I mean, would I want to believe an astronaut of all people? Yes. Do I think that there is a possibility? Yes. Do you make some good points? Is it hard to believe that we're the only civilization in the entire world, in the entire galaxies, solar systems? I find that hard to believe. On the other hand, where are all these aliens? Why aren't they here? How come they haven't shown their face? And we've never found proof of life on other planets or anything else. We also find it hard to inhabit other planets.
Well, I would say this, Michael. So, we've only been to a few planets, and some of these galaxies are light years away. It would take us thousands of years to get to some of them.
I'm not saying either way 100%. What I'm saying is there a possibility? Sure, I leave it a little bit open, but I'm not willing to bet anything on that, and I'm certainly not going to say with certainty one way or the other. If you put a gun to my head and said, what do you think? I'd say, I probably think there's no life on any other planet. There's no aliens. There might be life on other planet, like running water, other planets, like running water. There might be amoebas or something like that, but I certainly don't think that there's overwhelming evidence there's life on other planets in the form of aliens that are going to come here and visit us and fly aircraft.
Michael, now, you know what? I should have used your scenario.
What's my scenario?
That's what you said. If somebody put a gun, you're right. Let me take that. I wish I could just erase the whole betting thing because that wasn't a good way to put it.
I gave you a great scenario.
No, but
I gave you a great scenario. You can't do that. You came out with, I would bet.
Okay.
You would bet.
Okay. Now after hearing you, that was the better way of putting it. If somebody put a gun to my head and ask me whether or not, you know, aliens existed or they didn't, I would go ahead without hesitation and say aliens exist. So I think that's a better way of putting it. Because
and then they pull the trigger.
Hey, I mean, I would say I would live with it, but obviously I wouldn't live with it. But I would I'd be okay with that decision.
Mary Jo Buttafuoco lived with it, so yeah, you know, it's possible.
It's possible.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't believe that there are aliens. I mean, I think that there is a possibility, but I don't like wholeheartedly believe it.
Got you. I think they did a poll too. Most of the population, I think America, I think at least believe that there is life. You usually don't want to go with the masses, but a lot of the times it's always the people that kind of like are away that tend to be right. So you're on the right side of things, but I'm with the masses on this one.
Okay, I mean, listen, I look, I don't know. I'm surprised you don't have, a theory on Kennedy.
Honestly, Kennedy is not something I haven't really studied that situation. I know there's different theories on what happened there, but
let me ask you another question. Then there's the theory that we never landed on the moon. Do you believe that we landed on the moon or didn't land on the moon?
I've heard that one as well. Me and my friend actually Trav talk about that. He's brought that up to me. I just don't see why they would lie about something like that. I don't get what's
to
be gained.
Well, I think
there
are a lot of reasons. I could make the compelling case.
I would love to hear. I mean, I'm open to it. So you know.
Well, I mean, I don't believe that it's necessarily true, but I certainly understand the case. So, the first thing is that, you know, the idea was that we were in a space race, but we're also in an arms war with Mother Russia, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're supposed to beat the Russians. President Kennedy said by the end of the decade. So, maybe he had inside information talking to NASA, and realized that we really could reach space by the end of the decade. Maybe it was a flippant comment, but it seemed at the time that it was a deadline, and we were supposedly nowhere near being able to get into space. I've seen some of the vehicles that were used to get into space. I know a little bit about the communication systems. It is hard to believe that we were able to pull it off. Doesn't mean that we didn't pull it off, just means that it was hard. Then take into account that the Russians had allegedly put an astronaut into space. You got to beat them. You got to beat the Russians, and you feel all this pressure. So I think as the decade comes to a close, you could make the case that we made a motion picture going to the moon instead of actually doing it, and fooled people. And it would help us in foreign affairs. It would help us in the arms race. It would help us in public relations, and it would help us in the space race. And quite frankly, you know, the Russians were allegedly a lot closer than we were. So that's where the theory is born out of. And then there are a lot of little subtle problems with us having landed on the moon, like the way the sun shines and reflects on the mask of the astronauts, the fact that you can see in the reflection there's no flag blowing, or there is a flag blowing, and yet there's no, supposedly no wind on the surface of the moon. But I would say that I believe that, just like I do with, you know, when people say a lot of conspiracy theories, that the reality is we don't know how things really happen until we're in that situation. So we don't know that there's no wind on the moon. It's just a theory until you get to the moon and you find out. So I guess that's the bottom line in my mind, is that, you know, it's possible we did this. I think we, you know, some people will say we had less technology to pull off the hoax, so to speak, to make the movie, than we did to actually go to the moon. I disagree with that. I think we definitely had the technology to make the movie. The bigger problem would be keeping everybody's mouth shut for the next, you know, 60, 70 years. But I think we probably did go to the moon. I find it very hard to believe that we did, but I think we did.
You find it very hard to believe that we did, but you think that we did. And you just gave all this evidence as to, you know, things that, you know. So what makes you think that we did, if anything? What is there in the case that we did that prove that's otherwise?
So first of all, I mean, look, anybody who lived through it is going to swear that we went to the moon. Like, almost anybody who watched it on television, my mother, if your mother's old enough, your mother.
That's an emotional response.
Well, it is. It's also a "you showed it to me and I believe it" response. But when I look at it, I just think, number one, it would be too hard to keep it a secret for all these years. Somebody would have blown the whistle at this point. Number two, although I think that it was possible to create it back then, it would have taken a lot of work to create it and a lot of people. And again, I mean, money might not have been an object. It was probably a lot cheaper to film a movie about going to the moon than actually going. But I just think it would. I mean, I see how it'd be hard on both sides. Maybe I just want to believe that we went to the moon. Or maybe it's just that I feel like, you know, there's not really overwhelming evidence. And a lot of the theory gets debunked. The conspiracy theory gets debunked pretty easily. So I don't know. I just think that we did go to the moon. I think it's hard to believe that we went to the moon, but we did. That's okay. My feeling.
I mean, all right. I mean, it's good to know. You know, that's the one thing. I'm very open to a lot of scenarios and things like that. I'm not dismissive of things until
I
hear.
Maybe too open, though. Maybe, like,
it's no such thing.
The problem. I mean,
that's no such thing. If you close your mind to possibilities, then you already kind of like, you know, you're half. What are you doing? You shouldn't. I don't believe in closing your mind to anything. I think you take it in objectively. You listen to it, and then after you hear things, then you dismiss it. But to just openly dismiss it without hearing, you know, reasons as to why or why not to believe it, then, you know, what is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I hear what you're saying.
I think by going that route, honestly, we, you know, that's how you run into a lot of trouble when people just kind of openly dismiss things. You know, like, there's a lot of things that have been revealed that happened in the past that no one would have believed, you know, happened. You know, who would have believed that, you know, during World War One or World War Two, that the U.S. was, infecting their own soldiers with smallpox and different things like that, which has come out to actually be true. You know, you wouldn't have believed it. You would have dismissed it right away. So
I don't know. I don't know that I would dismiss that right away. I know better than that.
Yeah, you know, but you know what? A lot of people would, and a lot of people did. You know,
yeah.
You have to be open to things.
Well, that's true. A lot of people deny that the Holocaust happened.
Exactly.
A lot of people denied that the Holocaust was happening. So, you know, look, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Kevin,
Miss,
you know what I did want to tell you?
What's that?
Broadway Bartender, March 30th, first episode. It's going to be with School of Rock.
It's going to be cool. I was actually able to be there to tune into that one. I can't wait for the rest of Terrific to be able to see it because it was really cool. It was really good. You know, I'm not the biggest Broadway guy, but just watching, like, you know, these interviews, especially the School of Rock one, definitely, you know, grabbed my attention and had me interested. So I'm sure it'll be the case for the rest of the viewership as well, too. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah. What else was I going to say to you? I can't even remember.
Have you tuned into any of the NCAA stuff? I mean, obviously you're doing VSiN.
I've been watching it a little. I watched a good hockey game today a little bit. BU in North Dakota went to double overtime.
Who ended up winning that game?
I'm gonna find out. I had to work. Okay. I was working and I watched it for a little bit and then had to check. And I've been watching a little bit of the men's basketball. It's kind of a crazy year. It feels like a really lackluster year. I feel like there haven't been any major upsets really, other than the Michigan game the other night against Oregon, and it's not really a huge upset.
No,
I don't think that there's anything major upset wise that went on. From a gambling standpoint, nothing was that crazy. There were no upsets.
Yeah, pretty predictable stuff.
Huge.
Duke and Louisville.
Lonzo Ball is probably the best story of the NCAA this year, and his father couldn't be more annoying or more wrong in the way he's approaching everything.
Depends on how you look at it, right? Marketing wise,
really?
I mean, marketing wise, their names are very much known and put out there. So
I think your son's got to accomplish something first.
You
know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I know LeBron's mom did this too in a different way, but I just think you have to accomplish something before you get to that point. You can't just blanketly say, like, my kid's the best and I need a $1 billion contract and everybody should shut up and everybody should go to hell. I don't appreciate his logic. I don't appreciate his approach. I don't appreciate his involvement, by the way, and certainly his public involvement. I think he should be a little bit maybe behind closed doors with his asks. I know he's making a big statement, but you know what winds up happening is your kid winds up becoming Brian Bosworth, you know?
Yeah. No, we've seen this happen before, and it didn't turn out well. You know, a lot of, at least in the history that I can recall, like with the Bosworth situation that you're mentioning. So it can backfire, definitely, because he's putting a lot of pressure on his kids to really have to play up to those expectations. I mean, he's saying better than Magic Johnson and Steph Curry and guys who have already done it.
Yeah, so this is what I'm saying. Like, I don't think LeBron's mom ever said that he was – you know, better than Michael Jordan or any of these other guys.
No, she didn't.
I think, huh?
No, she didn't. Nope.
Right. So I just think that, like, again, she didn't say he was better than Jordan or Pippen or Kobe or anybody. And I just think that that's the way you do it. I don't think it's fair to put that on your kids. And I don't think it's fair to do that. And I think it's wrong. It's the wrong way to approach it. So he's running around saying his kids are better than everybody. He's comparing his kids to guys who played. You know, that's the other thing. It's like, you know, what if you were better than Jordan, but you only are good for a year? Like, that's not better than Jordan.
No.
You know, you have to do it for 20 seasons before I can evaluate you as being better than Jordan, because you have to do it at that level.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't even done enough at the level he's at to even be compared to Michael Jordan.
This is what I'm saying, is that, in my mind, achieve something and then come back and tell me that how great he is. Go play in the NBA for 2 seasons, win an NBA championship, a most valuable player, rookie of the year award, and we have something to talk about.
Yeah, I think his goal is obviously to get their name in the headlines, and I think it's mission accomplished with that.
As you said, a marketing thing, and then he becomes Brian Bosworth.
Yeah, so it can definitely backfire. We'll see. I mean, Kentucky and UCLA are playing tonight.
I don't know.
Game's going on right now, so we'll see.
Lonzo Ball going very far. What were you going to say? Who's playing tonight? Kentucky and UCLA?
Yeah,
It's currently the end of the first half, and it's 36-33, Kentucky. It could be Lonzo Ball's last game in college, because he is going to go into the NBA.
Definitely.
You've got whatever. I'm not going to read all these things. That's what Beeson does. I'm not going to steal their thunder. I was going to read some of the other scores, but it doesn't matter. All I can say is I'm looking at South Carolina Gamecocks now, who beat Baylor. They're going to face, I believe they're going to face North Carolina next, the Tar Heels. And I'm looking at that because we had Sirius in studio here, even though Beeson is on Sirius. We had Sirius in studio with a guy who's, he's a really nice guy, and he's a good host. His name is Patrick Meager. And he is from South Carolina and was really excited about how they're doing. So I don't know. I don't really have anybody to root for. So I guess I'm like, hey, go South Carolina.
Yeah. Just enjoy it, I guess. I mean, that's the benefit of not having a team that pulls your heartstrings. You know, that can be heart-wrenching. So just enjoy it, I guess, the little bit you can. Even though it doesn't seem like you I don't know if you can enjoy much of anything.
He was pulling for
Pulling for who? Who was it?
I was pulling for Michigan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the underdog.
Well, I like that they're the underdog. That's number one. Number two, a friend of mine went there, so it helps.
Okay.
You know, it gives me something to root for.
Something to root for. Makes sense.
Yeah. Because Romeo is bleeding. You can't see his blood.
Oh, by the way, I got a show for you.
Yeah. Hold on a sec. I was going to tell you that BU beat North Dakota, which I'm very happy about, 4-3 in double overtime.
Ah.
Wait, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, double overtime.
Wow. That was all a right, battle. Just... Oh, the show I have for you is Black Mirror. I don't know if you've watched it at all, but you should. I think
I've heard about this. I haven't watched it. I got to watch it.
Yeah, you'll like it. It's really, really cool. Very good show.
I guess I should say I can't wait, you know?
Yeah, no.
Oh, my God, I've been sitting all day. I just have to stand up, Kevin. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Nice shirt, by the way.
Yeah, it's ripped. It's crazy. I just got this shirt. Everybody compliments me on it. Look at this. It's falling apart.
Oh, man.
The stitching came out. I don't know how that happened.
It looks like a shirt I got, actually. I think I might have something like that. If not, I need to.
You got a dry cleaner here to fix it, maybe.
Yeah, that's a nice shirt.
The way it is. The stitching should be... came out all the way. No, this has got to be right. I don't know. What do I know, Kevin? I'm not a shirt designer.
Nah, you just a studio builder.
There you go.
And host.
Everything.
And everything else.
I edited video for them today.
Oh, man.
I shows and all sorts of stuff.
Man, you do it all. You do it all, Mike Warsis.
Too much.
Yeah. Gift and the curse of knowing everything.
What?
Gift and the curse of knowing everything.
Yeah. You know, Shaq got a statue today.
Yes, I saw that. That was nice to see. Definitely definitely well-deserved.
Really?
Yeah, Shaq was the all-time great.
It's a pretty cool statue.
Very cool statue. Very fitting.
Is he that great?
That great? Yeah, absolutely. He was, I mean, in my lifetime, he's the most dominant, you know, force I've ever seen. I think anybody would
really?
Say that. Yeah, nobody's
dominant. I thought Michael Jordan would be the most dominant force you've ever seen.
He was the greatest. You know, but Shaq was just like, there was nothing you can do with him. Like, literally, like, at the time, during his peak years, you couldn't stop him at all. I mean, it was 40 points and 20 rebounds in the finals, like, nonstop. It was just, you know, it was nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. And a dunk is always going to be a higher percentage shot than a jump shot. So he was just something else.
Yeah, I just remember him ripping backboards down.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was just, he's huge. I mean, and to be able to move like that, it's just incredible.
It's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is big. He is so big now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's put on a good amount of weight. He's definitely 400. 400 easily. 400.
400 in his right thigh is 400. Come on, man.
Yeah, definitely. 400 is I'm on the low end there. He's 400 plus. I think that's fair to say. Which is, I kind of,
so here's something interesting. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it seems like LSU has pretty much the same statue for him as the Lakers.
Oh, do they?
Isn't that a little odd?
I think the Lakers, they weren't too original in their thinking there.
I mean, it's cool to have a dunk statue because nobody else has that. But
yeah.
He's a big dude.
Big dude. Very big, man. I mean, unbelievably, like, physically dominant. The guy was something else. The Diesel.
Yeah, I remember seeing him in Orlando back in the day when he was with Magic.
Yeah.
The Orlando Magic.
Yeah, he was big then.
I would say Shaquille O'Neal.
And his personality, too. He's just a very, very funny guy.
Is he the only player to have his jersey retired with three teams?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I can't say for sure. I mean, wow. Yeah,
he's got the Heat, the Lakers, and I would imagine the Magic have retired Shaquille.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he definitely has three teams. Yeah, probably so. Because you think about it, most great superstars, great players, don't usually travel from team
to
team like
leave,
that.
Right?
Yeah, they don't leave like that. And maybe two at most, possibly, but three, no way. Yeah, that's probably is. He probably is the only one. Hey, wow. if I ever get asked that on like some kind of trivia show or something like that, I'm gonna shout you out for bringing that to my attention.
If you ever get asked that, who is the only NBA former NBA player to have his jersey retired by all three teams he played for?
Yeah, no, not all three teams, because he played for more than three teams, but have it retired by three teams, definitely.
Well, what other teams did he play for?
He played for the Phoenix Suns and the Boston Celtics.
He did? I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, it was a little bit past his, like, you know, way past his prom. You know, sometimes when these guys get, like, towards the ladder of their careers, they start collecting paychecks.
The Phoenix Suns.
He was good in, he was actually good at the Suns.
Julius Erving has the Nets and the Sixers. Earl the Pearl Monroe, the Knicks. Well, no, the Bullets and Wizards are the same team. Yeah. Charles Barkley, Sixers and Suns. So it's going to be... it's got to be Shaquille O'Neal if the Magic have retired his numbers. So let's look up Orlando Magic retired numbers. That's all we need. He would be the most honored player. The number is sixth. Let's see.
Yeah, I think they do have him retired.
Let's see. Wow, the Celtics have a lot.
Yeah.
Robert Parrish, Fred Auerbach, Dennis Johnson, Bill Russell, JoJo White, Bob Cousy.
Historic franchise.
Reggie Lewis, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Cedric Maxwell. The Chicago Bulls don't have that many, believe it or not. Who do you think the Chicago Bulls have?
Not many. I think they have maybe two players prior to Michael Jordan. Maybe Bob Pettit. Maybe Jerry.
Nope, that is incorrect. Bob Love and Jerry Sloan, then yeah. Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I said Bob Pettit. Bob Love.
Banner, Jerry Krause, the general manager, and Phil Jackson.
Jerry Krause recently passed away. Rest in peace, Jerry Krause. Passed away this
week,
actually.
You were completely wrong about that, Mr. Basketball.
Yeah, I got the Bobs wrong. Jerry Sloan definitely was one of the guys that I had in mind.
Pistons have a good amount. Isaiah, Rodman, Dumars, Daly.
Yeah. They have a decent amount. Nothing like the Lakers and the Celtics, though. Those teams are above and beyond, have the most retired jerseys.
Name one player that the Golden State Warriors have retired number four.
Oh, that's Brent Barry.
Rick Barry.
Oh,
buddy.
Rick Barry. Oh.
I gotta Houston get the Rockets, name one player. This is an easy one.
Oh, yeah, that's super easy.
There are two that should stand out to you.
I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, Hakeem the Dream, and Clyde Drexler.
Yeah, Clyde. You know what's funny? They shouldn't have retired Clyde Drexler because he didn't really play too many years for the Houston Rockets. Most of his career was with the Portland Trailblazers, and he wasn't really that great on the
But he won the championship Rockets. With Houston,
yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah, they did. I felt like that was more like, you know, I don't feel like he was very deserving of that retired jersey. I think Portland Trailblazers makes sense, played the majority of his career
According
there.
According to this.
But.
Well, they unveiled a statue. They got to retire his number tonight, right? He had to have had his number. Shaq had to have had his number retired.
Yeah, it was retired early. Right? It was retired earlier in the season. I think this season it was retired.
Okay.
Yeah. They retired Shaq? The jersey first, and then they did the statue. Yeah, Shaq.
Okay, because it's not on this list at NBA.com.
That's weird, yeah. He was actually talking about it because I think Kobe
Miami
wasn't there.
Heat.
Yeah,
wow.
Miami.
The Miami Heat retired number 23 in honor of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, they did.
They retired number 10 in honor of Tim Hardaway. And they retired number 33 for Alonzo Mourning. And the surprising one is Michael Jordan, but that's a nice one. I think, you know, hockey retired Gretzky's jersey number universally. Nobody in the NHL can ever wear 99 again. I think that basketball should have done that for Michael Jordan.
Yeah, they should have. LeBron was actually was somebody who was really campaigning for that. And then he decided to go back to 23 for whatever reason. But he was campaigning for that. I think that's right.
I remember. Yeah, because his number six sucks.
Yeah.
the New York Knicks retired Patrick Ewing, Dave DeBuscher, Willis Reed, the New Orleans Hornets, Pistol Pete Maravich.
Pistol Pete, man. Pistol Pete was, he was before his time.
The Sixers, Julius Erving, Charles Barkley, number 34. Former public address announcer, David Zinkoff. Let's see. Charles
That's
Barkley
nice.
Also retired with the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah,
Portland
Charles.
Trailblazer, Clyde Drexler. Wow, they have a lot. Bill Walton is retired as a Portland Trailblazer.
Yeah, won a championship
there.
I like Bill Walton a lot.
He must have loved playing in Portland near all that pot.
Bill Walton is something else, man.
I came from here to Orlando. Maybe the Orlando Magic don't have any. The Orlando Magic, they have.
Yeah, Penny Hardaway.
Retired only one number. It is number six in honor of the fans, which they call the sixth man.
What? They just retired?
How did the Orlando Magic not retire Shaquille O'Neal's jersey, their first franchise player and superstar?
I think something's up with that.
Two jerseys retired, Shaquille O'Neal and Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, Penny Hardaway is definitely retired. I remember the. I think they.
It's not. I'm on NBA.com.
What? That's weird. I thought they retired Penny's number this year. Yeah, I swear. I saw that.
Magic retired numbers. There you go. I'm just doing this by Orlando Magic. The sixth man, that's it. Which is what led me to the NBA thing because I was like, there's no way they don't have any retired players.
That's weird. That's crazy to me. Wow. Learn something new.
Shaquille O'Neal only played there four seasons, by the way.
Yeah,
92 to 96.
Yeah, he had a short run there, but it's just the he kind
Penny
of established
Hardaway,
them.
699.
Took them to the finals.
Wait, didn't Penny Hardaway See, this doesn't make any sense. I thought Penny was there for a lot longer than one season with Shaquille O'Neal.
No, he was there. He was there for a lot longer than. Oh, with
according to Wikipedia, Penny Hardaway was only there from 96 to 99.
He was there longer than that. He got there before 96. He got there like 95, I believe, or 94.
Oh, he got there earlier than that.
Yeah, 94. It was 94, I think, or 93. No, 94. I would say.
Let me see. I'm trying to read this. Led by Anthony Penny Hardaway. Let's look up Penny Hardaway. This is crazy. Can't believe we're talking so much basketball. You must be like dreaming.
Yeah, I'm like. Did you see me? I'm gleaming from ear to ear here. Like I'm like just smiling from ear to ear.
He's 45 years old, born in 1971. Went to the University of Memphis. He was drafted 1993 by the Golden State Warriors in round one. He was picked number 3 overall. He was in the movie Blue Chips with Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, that movie was good. It's one of my favorite. Nick Nolte, too.
Shooting guard, small forward, and let's find out a little bit more about Anthony Penny Hardaway.
Penny was the man.
Professional retired basketball player, blah, blah, blah. I think the Orlando Magic, Phoenix Suns. 1993 to 1999, Orlando Magic. I don't know why the other thing said 96. Yeah. I believe that. I think that Shaquille O'Neal got there in, what, 92?
Yeah, 92.
And Penny was there the next year.
Mm. Remember, that was a
script about. Magic. Like the real deal shorts. Like,
yeah, I see him.
Legit shorts.
You always have him like you're ready to go play ball. I wanted to ask you about that. Like, Mike, are you just ready, like, any opportunity to go play?
I need every opportunity to go play. Hold on. I think I got my Celtics shorts right here. Hold on a second. This is my hotel room, after all. Where did I put them? It might be in my dirty laundry pile. That's a possibility. I got to take my dry cleaning tomorrow. I got, you know what? Here are my Dallas Mavs official shorts. Look at this, Kev. The official shorts of the Dallas Mavericks.
Official tissue.
And I got the Celtics. And then I got the Knicks, but the old school Knicks. They're real shorts, man. Oh, here are the Celtics. And I got the Celtics. No, but I got these with the Shamrocks. I don't like the other ones. And then I got the Knicks and I got the Magic.
Yeah, man, you're
the real deal. Those are expensive shorts.
No, they are. The authentic stuff are really expensive. The jerseys and everything. Oh, man.
I know, but I don't care about the jerseys. I don't really think I can rock a tank top. They're too hairy up top to rock a tank top.
You can do it.
I'll rock a pair of the shorts, man.
Nah, those are comfortable. They're comfortable, too. Very comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Devin Booker scored 70 points?
Yeah. I was kind of beforehand, I saw he had 60-something before we got on before we got the show started. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow, that kid's really good. You know he's only in his
really
second.
Good.
He just turned 19.
Hold on a second. When a guy scores 70 points, you got to look at if he had any assists or anything.
He had like a few. He had like 4 or 5 at the time when I checked. I think 4.
70 points. When was this, tonight?
Yeah, tonight against the Celtics. They got blown out, though.
And they lost.
Yeah, they got blown out. It wasn't a close game.
Let's see.
But he's a young guy. I mean, he's 19 years old.
He's 19?
Yeah.
70 points?
Yeah. Second year in the league. Okay. He was he went to Kentucky the year beforehand, and then he came out last year. He was the youngest player drafted last year, the youngest player in the draft.
This is insane.
If you look at him, he looks like a kid.
You know what I ran into the other day? Was Ryan Grant. Did I tell you this yesterday?
No, you didn't.
Former Green Bay Packer. Ryan and I did a lot of stuff together at Press Pass, And so I ran into him in Englewood taking Jack to Daniel Tiger. And I'm in the elevator with him. So we go to backstage and we meet Daniel Tiger. And then I'm staring at this guy because I'm like, this looks exactly like Ryan Grant's brother. Because Ryan had like a haircut like mine when he played in the league.
Okay.
But this guy had long hair, but his brother had long hair. And so then I see Ryan Grant. So I get in the elevator with Jack and Jill and Ryan. And Ryan's wife and his two kids. And we're going to, I go, are you related by any chance to Ryan Grant? And he goes, I am Ryan Grant. And I'm like, Ryan, it's Michael Artis. Get out of here. Like, we had this whole great conversation.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
It's like that. After so many years and stuff like that. You know, I haven't seen him in a long time, so.
I know. It's nuts.
It is nuts.
So we had a great conversation, and he's going to come on soon, I think, actually. 21 of 40 from the field, and it's the 11th 70-point game in NBA history. He went 4 of 11 for three-pointers and 24 of 26 from the free-throw line. He had 8 rebounds and 6 assists in 45 minutes. Imagine if he had gotten 10 rebounds and, like, 12 assists.
Well, whoever had him in FanDuel tonight definitely came away a happy person.
I mean, would you just pick him in FanDuel every night because of this?
It might. That's what's going to happen. He's going to have high ownership the next game that he plays. Absolutely.
This is insane, dude.
It is insane.
70 points. I watched LeBron throw up, like, 60 against the Knicks after Kobe threw up 63. This guy, or 68 or whatever Kobe did. This is crazy. 70 points, and the kid's 19?
Yeah.
20?
Speaks of a bright future. I mean, the Suns really are a big one. So. No, he's good. See. He's really good. He really is good. Like, watching him, like, I like his game. He can shoot. Can get to the lane. He's a good player.
Does he pass? I mean, clearly he's got 6 assists.
He can pass, but he's not the point guard. So it's like
6'6", 206. What year do you think he was born?
1995? No, not 1995. 1996.
You're close.
Yeah.
Out of Kentucky, first round draft pick number 13 by the Phoenix Suns. How come nobody picked him earlier?
There was a lot of players that draft, and plus he was a young guy. The thing is, when he played at Kentucky, he came off the bench because that Kentucky team was that deep.
Yeah, that wasn't a dumb idea.
Yeah,
Let's have the guy who can put up 70 points by himself sit on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, that Kentucky team was that loaded. Carl Anthony Towns from New Jersey was the number one
pick. Listen, he was a freshman probably, right?
Yeah, he was a freshman, yeah. And they had Carl Anthony Towns, and, you know, they had their talent was just ridiculous. But
yeah,
he always showed the
why ability. Is this, like, everybody's got to compare everybody to Michael Jordan, so they're now saying that Shaq was, you know, 10 times stronger than Michael Jordan. Who cares?
It's no comparison there. You know, different positions, no. different games.
So you do this fantasy stuff, this daily fantasy, but you never gamble? I don't understand.
I gamble from time to time, but it's not something I'm heavy in. Like, a lot of my friends do it, like, every day. Me, not so much, because I'm not really I like the...
I mean, isn't daily fantasy gambling? Spending money, right?
It is gambling, but it's educated gambling, because I know about the players, I know about the matchups and things like
why
that.
Why isn't gambling... I mean, I don't know.
I'm
just curious, because I'm out here...
I guess with regular gambling, you know, to make a decent profit, it's based on spread. How much they're going to beat them by and things like that. That's kind of harder for me to garner than, you know, fantasy basketball, where I'm able to kind of tell matchups and kind of, like, fit them together more with the salary setup and everything else. On top of that, they do have a bit of a gamification aspect to it, too, that makes it more enjoyable to watch the game and have players that are involved, too, as well. So all of that kind of plays a part.
All right, well, that's the Michael Arcis show for today, Kevin. I think we talked about some interesting stuff. I'd love to get Ryan Grant on soon. I'd love to, you know, we'll be back Monday. We've got a big week next week, Broadway Bartender coming up. I'm really excited. That's March 30th, and we'll have a time for you by Monday. So with that, I'm Michael. He's Kevin. Kevin, great job day, and have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much for watching. Until next time, be terrific.